Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley. It's good to see everybody.
Everybody.
Couple announcements this morning. First of all, thanks to everybody who participated in any way with the Women's Association Craft Show yesterday. If you made baked goods, if you had a table to show your wares, if you came and shopped and spent money, if you worked in the kitchen, cleaned up, anybody that had anything to do with anything, we thank you very, very much. It was a huge success, and the Women's Association cleared $2,404. So thank you all. That was a biggie. So thank you. Taking a minute, because we have a minute, because in case you can see, we don't know where the minister is, so I'll just talk for a little while. But taking advantage of the fact that Kristen is not with us today, Kristen has taken a trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is where her home presbytery is, and that presbytery of Santa Fe is the presbytery that has sponsored her through her education and through her time here at the Pittsburgh Seminary. And they are obviously very proud of her accomplishments and her graduation. And they asked her if she could go there so that they could celebrate her. So they have been behind the scenes supporting her through this journey that she has taken. And just so we all know, that's where she is. And she will be back, I think, Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember. But she'll be back in the pulpit next Sunday. And 2 weeks from today, we will be celebrating her ordination here in the church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've never been to one, so I can't tell you a lot about it. Some of us were present when we installed Rebecca. To my understanding, this is a bigger deal, because at that point, Rebecca had already been ordained. So there will be some guest speakers. There will be some people coming from the Santa Fe Presbytery. There will be people from our presbytery. There will be family of Kristen's. Her mother and father will be here. She has some friends coming from the Midwest. I want to say Michigan, but I could be wrong. So it'll be an assortment of people, and we would certainly love to have our own membership here to support her and to show her friends how happy we are to have her joining us as our pastor. So please mark your calendars for that 2 weeks from today, 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And there will be a dinner reception in McFadden Hall after the service, and everyone is welcome to stay for that, again, to sort of celebrate Kristen and sharing her accomplishments and welcome her to our pulpit. I can't go on anymore, I'm sorry. So what we're going to do, Jim Gilchrist was scheduled to be our pastor today, and this is not like Jim. We have been in touch with Jim several times during the week. He sent us his scripture and his sermon information, so I'm hoping that he's okay, but I can only imagine that something has happened because this is not like him. Cliff's trying to reach out. We unfortunately only have email addresses and no phone numbers, so we're going to kind of go through the order of service as it is in your bulletin until we get to the sermon. Hopefully Jim will be here by then. If not, we'll just start thinking about your favorite hymns, and we'll have Mickey play a couple songs, and we'll sing a couple extra hymns when. Okay, sounds like maybe Cliff reached him. But anyway, if we want to continue, we're going to just start. I will start with the call to worship. Let us welcome to the house of the Lord, make a joyful noise as we enter his home, and praise him with singing. Let us start with our opening hymn, Standing on the Promises, 838.
Jim is on his way. Google Maps gave him a wrong direction.
Okay, so the good news is we can sing, and you will have somebody who's going to preach, and you won't have to play any extra hymns, and life is going to be fine. So, Standing on the Promises, 838.
Standing
don't trust Google Maps. This is my 9th time coming here. I know how to get here. But I punched in Google Maps just because that's what I do. And it said, try this. And next thing you know, I was on the other side of Route 8 in some warehouse, which said was Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I was pretty sure that was not the church. But I couldn't figure out how to get from here to there. Fortunately, I planned a slightly shorter sermon for today, so it's all going to be fine. But trust but verify, right? That's what Ronald Reagan said. If Google Maps tells you go this way and it doesn't look quite right, it's probably not right. That said, it sounds like a good time for confession, right? So let's join together in our unison prayer of confession to be followed by a time of silent confession. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have made us and we belong to you. You shower us with blessings, but we do not always give thanks. You invite us to pray, but we are slow to trust your promises. Forgive our reluctance to do your will, and help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Draw us ever closer to you in faith, hope, and love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Join together in this historic reminder of the classic affirmations of the Christian faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let's exchange the peace from afar. You can wave to neighbors, and I'm glad to see everybody here. It's lovely. And it has a soothing effect if you just spent the last 20 minutes driving where you shouldn't be. Also, if any of you happen to remember, you may note that my voice is a little deeper than it usually is. That's because I have a cold. And you remember when people just got colds, right? And you didn't worry that it was COVID. I actually took a COVID test yesterday just to make sure I was fine. I'm fine. It's a cold. So I'm going to wear a mask after we're done here, and I won't, you know, shake a lot of hands or anything. But it is good to see you all. Since I missed whatever opportunity there was to hear about prayer concerns, does anybody have any that you want to share aloud? Either words of thanksgiving for good things God is doing in your world, or concerns that you want us to pray for. Please, Cliff.
My wife's best friend's mother passed away this week, so it was unexpected.
A name?
Grebanowski is the last name. Sarah Grebanowski is the friend of my wife. I don't remember her mother's name.
So for Sarah's mom and their family. Yeah, thank you. Others? Please, go ahead.
Sandy Salmon, her son's mother-in-law, Millie. Some of you may know her. She came to some of our functions. But anyway, she was just diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. No hope for survival. If she did treatment, it would only give her maybe 2 or 3 months. So there's a little bit of family conflict as to whether to kind of force her to treatments.
So her first name, the woman who's sick, is
Millie.
Okay. Thank you. Somebody else back here too. Please go ahead.
Travel mercies for my sister. They're traveling from Colorado to Florida to go to their new home.
And her name is?
Chris and Greg.
Chris and Greg. Okay, good. And?
And for my sister Sue, she broke her back in a couple of spots. And she's dealing with a lot of pain.
Sorry, was she, is the prognosis for recovery?
She has to see a spine doctor.
Oh dear.
She's primary caregiver to her husband who has MS.
Oh dear.
Her other sister with, she's mentally retarded, so she plays caregiver to others.
So for Sue, who has broken her back in places, and she's also caring for others. So sometimes things are just compounded, aren't they? So remember Sue. Anybody else, please? Go ahead.
Thanksgiving for the fact that we will be blessed with a permanent pastor.
Yeah.
Very happy about that. And we've also been very blessed during our search to be supported by ministers like you. So we thank you for the support while we've been in search.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was at the Presbytery meeting where Chrissy was received, welcomed, did her statement of faith. So that's good news. And you know, it's okay when you're in a role like mine to say, we don't need you anymore. That's good. That's perfectly fine because you've got a good pastor coming. And she, by the
way, we'll need you again. We're going to give
her. And by the way, I will tell you, that when Chrissy was doing her statement of faith, which is what you do in the presbytery when they welcome you to a call, somebody said, well, why do you want to serve there? And she said, well, I love those people. And she said it, I don't know if any of you were there, but she had no reason to say that, you know, just to be flattering. She was just telling the whole presbytery, well, I want to be there because I love those people. So God bless you and her, and she's looking forward to being a pastor here. Anybody else?
We're thrilled to have Sandy literally back from her hospital stay.
There's Sandy. Okay, welcome back. All right, I can only see this much of Sandy, but all right, that's good. All right, well, let's turn to God with these and all the other prayers of our hearts, and I'll offer some words, and then we'll join in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning with all the concerns that we bring in with us. We come with family and friends that are ill or injured. We come with concerns about the well-being of our nation and the community. We come with uncertainty about the future. We come with fears of all kinds. But we also come with gratitude because you are God, and we know that when we come to you, you hear us, and because you are wise and good and powerful, you will redeem all that is amiss, even as you bless us with all the good gifts of life. So for your presence and your love and your care for us, O God, we give you thanks and praise. And we start with that reminder so that we are made bold to bring to you the concerns of our hearts. And we pray for all those that we've named aloud and those whom we name quietly now. We pray for Sarah's mom, for those who have passed away, that they be welcomed into the fullness of your kingdom, and for those who mourn and are left behind, for an extra measure of your grace and comfort as they seek your presence in reassurance and faith and hope and love. I pray for Millie and for Sue, for all those who are injured, who need the touch of your healing hand in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for caregivers who day in and day out look after other people and then sometimes themselves face trials that compound the demands upon them. Fill them with an extra measure of your grace so that they may be sustained for all the things you call them to do. Pray for travel mercies for Chris and Greg and all the others who are on the roads and in the air and moving from one place to another. I just pray that you go with them and sustain them on the way and in their arrival. We thank you for healing and for the return of those who've been away, for Sandy and others whom you've blessed with recovery from illness or surgeries of all kinds. And we give you thanks for new pastor, for Chrissy coming to be welcomed here as a regular pastor in an ongoing way. And we just ask your blessings upon her and upon the church here, that all who gather here may be nourished and strengthened in the word. And moving out from this congregation, we pray for your church everywhere, that those who show up in any place will receive a good word from you and be strengthened to live for you. And we pray for our country, and that you will raise up leaders and make us a people who know and do what is right in your sight. And for those in other lands far from us but near to you, we also pray. So all these things and so many more we lift up to you in the name and for the sake of Christ our Lord, who taught us about prayer and taught us that when we pray together we should say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then let's stand, if you can. be seated, and we'll invite ushers to wait upon you for the offering. Gracious God, we praise and thank you for all good gifts and ask that you take these gifts and our hearts and our whole lives and use them to your glory in the name and for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and it's about concerning prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I want to talk this morning a little bit about not how to pray, but why. Jesus, in the passage you just read, which then becomes, of course, our Lord's Prayer, talks about how to pray, and that's another sermon and probably a whole series of sermons about how to pray. This morning I want to talk about why pray, because I think a lot of people, even if they've been in church a long time, still wonder about that. According to Gallup and other survey takers, roughly half of Americans say that they pray weekly, which is to say, of course, at least once a week. Although I imagine that quite a few of us also pray weekly in the other sense, meaning without a lot of strong conviction, without a whole lot of belief, weekly spelled differently, not quite sure what we're doing when we pray or why we do that. Even some people who pray, and I know this from being in the church for a long time, not to mention those who don't, wonder, what sense does it really make to pray? And there are good reasons to ask that question. For one thing, none of us can see God, right? And so it's a natural temptation to imagine that when we close our eyes and bow our heads and say things, it's a natural temptation to imagine, well, maybe we're just talking to ourselves, because it's not like another person where you see the one you're talking to. So if I pray to God, am I really talking to somebody, or am I just talking to myself? And then there are theological questions, and these are good questions too. So for example, if God is all-knowing, as we say in our theology, then do we really need to remind God that somebody we care about is sick, or that people suffer terrible calamities and need help? As if God wasn't paying attention or hadn't noticed these things, do we really need to do that? And Jesus himself, after all, says, your Father knows what you need before you ask. So does the Almighty really need suggestions or even plodding from the likes of us? If God is good, won't God already be planning to do the right thing? Why does God need us to say, please look after Aunt Jane or my friend Bill? And then again, I hear some people say, well, I never pray for myself. I only pray for other people. And at one level, that's sort of admirable, because they don't want to be selfish. And it feels to those folks like a kind of vanity to ask the maker of heaven and earth, the one who spread the vast expanse of space and time, to ask that God to pay special attention to them, even if it's for a good cause. People wonder, doesn't God have more important things to do? Doesn't like the war in Ukraine or something preoccupy God? Why should the Almighty God care about my little concerns? Some people never pray for themselves, but other people don't pray at all, because they really don't think it's going to do any good. And some of those people are thoughtful. They don't pray, for example, because they think the world runs on unnatural laws, right? And after God set those laws in motion, then God won't or maybe even can't intervene, right? And to those folks, that feels like a more sophisticated way of understanding the intelligence behind the universe. Einstein was like that. Einstein talked a lot about God, but Einstein thought that God was just sort of the intelligence that shows up in math and physics, and he would no more ask that God to intervene than he would ask for some special favor from gravity or electromagnetism. If you think God set the world in motion and just lets it run by itself, why would you imagine that God intervenes in all that? Then still, some people say, well, I don't believe prayer changes things, but I believe prayer changes me. And those folks, I've heard over the years, don't expect God to cure an illness or help anybody find a job or do anything concrete like that. But they think the prayer helps them to handle whatever's going to happen anyway. So for those folks, prayer is mostly psychology, a kind of attitude adjustment like meditation or mindfulness. So for all kinds of reasons, and perhaps you've met people that talk like that, maybe you have felt like that, some people never really pray for anything to change in the world, because they don't think that makes any sense. But other people, you know, are exactly the opposite, right? They talk about the power of prayer as though it were a kind of force that they could wield as a function of their faith. Some believers, perhaps you've heard, are always urging people to pray and expect results. Prayer works, they say. And some of them will even say, expect a miracle, right? Oral Roberts always used to say that, expect a miracle, because we believe God can do miracles after all. And then they quote Jesus again, who says, whatever you ask in prayer through faith, you will receive. But think about that. That kind of belief can lead to obvious problems too, can't it? For starters, it doesn't always literally work, does it? Lots of prayers seem to go unanswered. Lots of people pray for healing or for some other good thing, and what they ask for doesn't happen. We just know that's just a fact. So at one level, it's simply not true that everybody always gets whatever they ask for in prayer. We know that's not the case, and presumably that's not what Jesus meant. Now, when that happens, when somebody prays, then what they ask for, a good thing, healing or work or somebody to love. When somebody prays prayer for a good thing and it doesn't happen, you know there's always somebody who comes along and says, well, you must not have had enough faith, right? If you had enough faith, you would have received, because Jesus says, whatever you ask for in faith, you'll receive. But is that always true? Is it only faithless people, people who don't really believe in God, who don't get what they ask for? I don't know about you, but I've known lots of genuine believers over the years who have prayed for very good things, and the prayers did not seem to be answered. And then, when somebody came along and said, well, your prayer wasn't answered, obviously you don't have enough faith, in my experience, those people are left not only with the problems, the troubles that they brought to God in the first place, but that's all compounded by the feeling that maybe they're not even worthy of God's attention. Maybe they're not only suffering about the thing that they prayed for, maybe God doesn't even think they're worth listening to or answering their prayers. And all this points to yet another problem. Listen to the language that people sometimes use when they claim that prayer works. Sometimes it sounds as if they think they can control the outcome of prayers just by believing strongly enough. As if prayer were a kind of force to be mastered, right? The way the Jedi Knights learned to control the force in Star Wars, or like a magic spell that you could learn to make things happen, like Harry Potter and his friends at Hogwarts. Some people talk about prayer as if it was a kind of power they could control if they just managed to believe hard enough. There's a difference, though, between magic and faith. The difference between faith and magic has to do with who's in control. In magic, people have tried to practice magic in various ways through the centuries. In magic, human beings try to master some power to stay in control of things, even if they call it having faith. But that's not quite what Christianity teaches. In the Christian tradition, God is in charge, and God is the one who determines the outcomes. And that's why scientific studies that try to show whether prayer really works, you know, those double-blind studies where you pray for somebody and they don't know you're praying for them and you don't know who you're praying for. Harvard tried some of those some years ago. That's why those kinds of studies can tell us really nothing at all about prayer. Because the God that Jesus reveals to us is a person. Not quite like us, but a person in the sense that one who acts and loves and makes decisions. God is not some impersonal force like gravity or some cosmic vending machine that you pop in a prayer and out comes whatever you ask for automatically. God is not like that, the Bible tells us. So, neither skepticism nor magical thinking does justice to why we pray. In the Christian tradition, we pray for two basic reasons. First, because Jesus tells us to pray, the text that we just read and in other places too, Jesus tells us to pray in order to draw us closer to God, which is the thing we need most in this world. And second, we pray because prayer really does make a difference. So I want to talk about both of those things for a minute. We pray, first of all, because Christ tells us to pray. So in the Gospels, you know, if you read the Gospels, and of course you should, Jesus is always going off somewhere by himself so he can pray. Well, why does he do that? He does it because prayer is fundamentally about our relationship with God. Prayer is one of the most important ways to practice the presence of God. And the Bible tells us we were made to love God. And if you love somebody, you want to be with that person, don't you? If you love somebody, you want to be in that person's presence. That's part of what it means to love. You like spending time with that person. So prayer is one way of loving God. And the more time we spend with God, the more God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shapes our own spirit. You know that in ordinary friendships, when people spend a lot of time together, they often become more like each other. Have you noticed that? When people become good friends and they hang out together for years and years and years, their attitudes, their opinions, sometimes even their way of talking and sort of moving in the world, bends toward each other the way plants bend in the direction of the sun. And the same thing is true with God. The more time we spend with God, the more our spirit bends in the direction of God's Holy Spirit. And after a while, we learn to see what God sees and want what God wants. And as that happens over time, our prayers become more powerful and more effective, not because we control the outcomes, but because we learn to ask for the very things that God wants to give. So if anybody objects that intercessory prayer, you know, the prayer for other people, if anybody objects that that's unnecessary because God will do the right thing anyway, those folks are missing the whole point. You and I were made in the image of God. We are God's children. And if we have children of our own, we know that we want our children to learn about the things that bring meaning and purpose and joy in life and help us to do right by other people. We want our kids to learn those things. Because that's just what love does. And God wants us to share the best of those things in life too. So, God gives us the gift of participating in God's own work as co-creators in this world. God gives us things to do that really matter, such that if we don't do them, they will not get done, right? You know that's true. If you neglect your children, if somebody doesn't raise their children well, providing for them food and clothing and shelter and encouragement and a sense of security, if parents don't do that, those children may not grow up well. God isn't going to rush in and change things. What the parents do or do not do for their children has real consequences. If people are hungry and nobody feeds them, they could die. If somebody is sick and we don't see that she gets the medical treatment that she needs, she may not get better at all. All sorts of high-stakes outcomes, people's well-being and sometimes even their lives, all sorts of high-stakes outcomes in this world depend on what you and I do or fail to do. And that's because God has given us this enormous responsibility of caring for one another in ways that really matter in this world. So, what if prayer is like that too? What if, whether or not we lift somebody else up in prayer, that's one of the things that helps to determine what actually happens for that person in this life? We know that's true in other ways. What if that's also true for prayer? And some of us, I'm certainly one of them, some of you are too, I imagine, some of us actually see prayer making a difference all the time. Some of us actually see answers to prayer once in a while, some of us quite regularly, in fact. Have you ever felt somebody praying for you? I feel that sometimes. Sometimes I'll feel something come over me, a kind of peace or a sense of direction, and I'll go home and Gwen, my wife, will say, yeah, I was praying for you at 2:00, and I said, that's when I felt this. And other people have told me that too. Often, I have no idea what I'm going to say in a sermon. You can tell when that's the case sometimes. But sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say in a sermon or classes that I teach at the university, or I knock on the door of somebody's house when there's been a terrible loss and you show up and you don't have a clue what you're going to say because their turmoil is so great. That happens a lot for ministers. But you come to the door and you pray about it, and my experience invariably has been that good things then come out of all that, things that I never planned or could not even imagine. We turn that uncertainty over to God, and God comes through in ways that are redeeming and powerful. I've seen sometimes people recover in remarkable ways from being sick. You know, doctors sometimes talk in code. You go to the hospital and you ask, you know, how's it going? And the doctor says something like, well, you know, Jane is very sick. And that's sort of doctor code for, we don't have a lot of hope for Jane. I've seen people for whom the medical people have said that, and then some people that are really faithful in prayer have turned up, and I've seen people recover in remarkable ways. And I've seen lots of people who suffer some terrible illness or have some enormous struggle, and they pray and people pray over them, and they manage to bear some extraordinary sickness or pain or struggle, and they just hold up in it with courage and strength and love and peace because they've been lifted up by other people in prayer, and they say, I don't know how I could have done this except that people were praying for me. I see the power of prayer all the time. Not because we control it by having enough faith, such that if we don't have enough faith and it doesn't happen, it's our fault. No. I see the power of prayer because God is good and God determines outcome. And the closer we draw to God, the more we want the things that God wants to give anyway. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, you know that physical healing in this world is always temporary, isn't it? Right? We always pray for healing, but in this life, that's always temporary. Every once in a while, I read the paper and I see some article about a new breakthrough in medicine, and it says, such and such a treatment reduces mortality by 17%. And I think, no, it doesn't. What they mean, of course, is that the people who take the treatment are 17% less likely to die over a certain period of time than the people who don't take the treatment. I understand that. But I read the article that says, mortality reduced by 17%, and I think, no, that's not true. Mortality is still 100%. Everybody dies. And that's not a morbid thought, that's just the truth, right? If you don't know that, you haven't been paying attention. The mortality rate is 100%. Now that's an important thought, though. Because all those people in the Bible who were healed, right? The lame guy that gets up and walks, and the blind man that sees, and the deaf that hear, and the people with their spiritual and emotional sicknesses, and the casting out of demons, Lazarus who gets called out of the tomb. Every single person in the Bible that gets healed, you know what would happen if there was an epilogue to this story? You ever go to a movie, right, and at the end of the movie, it lists what happened to all the characters. You know, Jane went on to become president of the company, and Joe became an athlete, and, you know, somebody else did this or that. If there was an epilogue to the New Testament, you know what it would say? It would say, all those people died. The lame guy that got up and walked, he lived to be, you know, 72, and he died. The blind guy that was able to see, he lived to be, you know, 64. And the woman that was saved from this or that, she lived to be 86. They all died. So the point of healings in this life and some of the other gifts that we get is not that those things will last forever in this world. The point, whenever God comes through in some spectacular way, the point is not that this is going to last forever. The point is God is here, and God is good, and God will see us through. That's what the psalmist says when he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. So, prayer is what draws us close to God and strengthens us in faith and hope and love, no matter what else happens. And real consequences follow from our actions and from our failure to act. So maybe then our prayers are among the things that God uses to determine what actually happens in this world. Sometimes the effects of our prayers are striking and spectacular, and Jane recovers miraculously. But often, the effects of our prayers are too subtle for us to notice. Lots of things are going on around us all the time that are too subtle for us to see. But once in a while, other times, and quite often I find, for people whose lives are shaped by the Holy Spirit, prayers contribute conspicuously to the way things turn out. We prayed for this, and look at what happened, and who could have thought that this would have been the outcome? And when that happens, as I hope you know, the effect is that it draws us even closer to God, because we learn that God is there, and God can be trusted, and God is faithful. And in fact, sometimes even what we call unanswered prayers can strengthen our faith. Have you noticed that? It's not just when you get what you want. Sometimes even what we think of as unanswered prayers can strengthen our faith. Sometimes I hear people, even Christians who've been around for a while, say, well, all we can do now is pray. as if that was the last resort, as if calling on the one in whom we live and move and have our being is the thing you do when all the other options are exhausted. But what kind of wisdom is that? Because isn't it precisely the things that we cannot control that drive us to depend on the one who is in control, to the only one who really is in charge? Isn't it only when our resources fail us that we're driven to turn to God and depend on God? And then doesn't faith grow deeper when we learn how much we depend on God? And then doesn't that deeper faith over time bring us courage and peace and strength for the hard times, and magnify the joy for times that are good? So today I want to talk about how we pray. I want to talk about why we pray. And why is that? We pray because Jesus shows us how prayer will deepen our relationship with God and let our spirits be shaped by God's own spirit. And that, of course, is the great project of life, to grow into the image of God in which we're made. So we pray for that reason, because prayer brings us closer to God, and we pray because prayer really does make a difference in the world, not because we control the outcomes, but because God hears our prayers and responds in ways that are consistent with God's wisdom, and God is good. Prayer is not magic, as if we could control God or the world around us, but prayer changes things. And it changes things not only within us, it isn't just psychology or attitude adjustment. Prayer also changes some things in the world around us. So prayer turns out to be this amazing gift that lets you and me, the likes of us ordinary humans, to share in God's own loving, redeeming power and presence in this world. And what gift could be greater than that? Thanks be to God. Amen. So let's sing, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. In my heart, Lord, And that is, of course, one of the main reasons that we pray, and it helps us to become more like Jesus. And by the way, not that you keep track of this, but even starting late, it's exactly 11:30. Will you receive a blessing? God bless, preserve, and keep you. God go before you and behind you and beside you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.